Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Welcome to the BFM studio. Julie Cullen, Master's Researcher at the School of Ophthalmology. And this morning we've got a big old topic. It's screen time for children. Is there any screen time, amount of screen time, which is good, Julian? And what are the effects and long-term, you know, things that we might need to consider when you're parking your children in front of a phone or a TV for hours on end? And why apparently New Zealand has some of the highest screen time use in the developed world, or in the world even. How come? Where do we start? So many questions.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Yes.
Shall I tell you a little bit about my research?
Of course, yeah, get into it.
Yeah, so my new research is looking at children's eye health, specifically pediatric dry eye disease and modifiable lifestyle factors. So that includes digital screen use, also things like sleep and outdoor time that can impact on eye health. But I've actually just finished a project with a wider group of authors from the University of Auckland, including Dr. Alex Muntz and Dr. Samantha Marsh, and other amazing authors from different centres. And we've just finished developing recommendations for the use of digital technologies in education settings, so schools, cura and early childhood settings, along with collaboration from educators, clinicians, experts in digital media, and with consultation and feedback from stakeholders. So yeah, we're really hoping that can help.
Is this because obviously screen time is increasing in schools and preschool, you know, continually, probably year on year, you know, children are parked in front of screens more often than not?
Well, in New Zealand, our kids have higher rates of screen use in both home and school than the majority of other countries.
Wow, why?
And that includes the majority of other wealthy countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So our kids have, in schools, they have the highest rate of internet use in the world, amongst the highest rate of using devices to learn, but also from young ages. So there is a real variety from school to school and even classroom to classroom, but it does include digital immersion models where the majority of learning is done online, and that includes in primary school in New Zealand.
Yes.
So we do have these higher rates. Why? It's a complex question. I probably don't have all of the answers, but I think historically New Zealand has always considered ourselves as in leading innovation.
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly been early adopters and early adopters of technologies in schools. Actually, there was a principal, I think Claire Amos, who said in response to that same question when the data came out, showing it, that she wasn't surprised that New Zealand students had higher use of digital technologies than their peers in most other countries, because schools encourage the use of digital devices and we have high internet access. So I would agree with that, and that's also, schools really have a leading role in educating communities and families and whānau.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really also hopeful that these recommendations to support students with safer screen behaviours in schools, will have a flow-on effect into communities, because ensuring that technologies do provide opportunities to young people and don't harm them is quite complex, and the solutions are going to come from working together, not only schools and families, also from our policymakers and decision makers. Because technology certainly can provide opportunities for learning and other benefits, but it's really quite broadly accepted now, including in scientific communities, that along with opportunities, they risk harm to our young people.
What are some of the harms that are potential sort of things that we need to keep an eye on?
Well, there's harms through risk of privacy and security, harmful content and inappropriate content exposure. But as to the starting point of developing the recommendations, we performed a narrative review with a systematic search strategy, so meaning we looked at lots and lots and lots of studies from the past decade that examined the positive and negative impacts of using digital technologies on child and adolescent health and well-being. So what we found from that was that some use of technologies can support health for young people especially for adolescents. So they can look up health information online. They can there's some active fitness gaming. They can make connections, and of course, technologies can support some health issues and learning needs for young people.
Mm-hmm.
However, what we found was that frequent and extended use of devices was associated with a risk of harm across numerous areas of children's health.
Mm.
So we considered 8 different areas of health to really give a holistic perspective needed for decision making. So as a summary, we found that screen time, regardless of content, so what I mean is it's, you know, whether kids are doing schoolwork or watching TikTok, the way we're using screens or what that screen use displaced seemed to have the most impact for areas of health like eye health.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing loss associated with headphone and earbud use, which is a well-established risk, because along with volume, the duration of use has an impact there. But also things like headaches, neck pain, repetitive strain injury, back mm-hmm. pain. However, on the flip side of that, there were some other areas of health where time spent using screens may be important, but perhaps not the most important issue. So the quality and content of screen media, other things like kids' age and whether they use them alone, those sorts of factors can have more importance. So that was for areas like well-being, mental health, and cognition.
What sort of cognition stuff do you take into account here?
Being higher brain functions, so attention, memory, intelligence, but cognition specifically, the benefits of using technologies are also quite age-dependent.
Mm.
So for younger children, screen time becomes very important again. And that's probably largely because of opportunities that are displaced by screen use that would have been beneficial to their learning and development.
Mm-hmm.
That was really our findings there.
What about some of the people in New Zealand who are sort of a lower socioeconomic background? Are they facing more challenges with screen time and the duration of the screen time?
So children, unfortunately, children and youth from prioritised communities, so Māori and Pacific children, children from low socioeconomic communities have higher screen use than their more advantaged peers and mm-hmm. higher internet use than their more advantaged peers. So unfortunately, risks associated with excessive use may be higher for those groups. So that gives potential for a new equity issue there that mm-hmm. we think is important to consider.
And on the eye front, you were saying off air that you're sort of specialising in the issues that people might be facing with their eyes. What sort of stuff in particular is at stake with your vision with screen time?
Well, there's a number of conditions that are associated with higher screen use. There's dry eye disease, myopia, and also digital eye strain.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of these areas, the science, the evidence isn't perfect yet.
Mm-hmm.
It shows association and not causation. But to get that strength of evidence is going to take years, if not decades.
Mm-hmm.
To steal a line from the US Surgeon General, it's really about making the best decisions that we can with the information that we do have.
Too. Yes.
So that's what I'm interested in looking at. So specifically for dry eye disease, we're finding that it's long been considered a disease of the elderly,
mm-hmm.
and now more recently we're starting to see it in children and adolescents, primarily in association with extended screen use. I've totally lost my train of thought.
Yes, yes. Now, I mean, we also sort of top line stuff, you know, you hear whispers about, phones should potentially be R16. Do you think we'd ever see that, or is the horse bolted? Is there any clawing our way back and going like, no, none of the screen time until you're a late teen?
Until you're a late teen. Well, there's ideals and practical reality, and also in developing these recommendations, especially you can't just consider it from a health perspective. Our kids will need excellent digital skills and to become competent digital citizens to thrive in a fast changing world, and they can provide opportunities, so we really had to consider a range of perspectives when developing those. But I think in response to growing evidence and new evidence, we really do need to have discussions and to consider where we are. And there's been calls for that by the UN, and specifically with Has the Horse Bolted, because that's a really common argument.
Is yes.
Common,
the horse it's too late.
It's too yep. late. They're all doing it now. Seeing as how I'm stealing quotes, I'll steal one from Dr. Samantha Marsh, and she would say, "You don't give up on children.
Yes.
You just don't throw your hands up in the air yep. and say, oh, well, it's too late.
Yep.
Of course, there's things that we can do to support our children with these.
What are your top tips? What are your top pieces of advice for those people with, you know, really young children or preteens when it comes to screen time?
Well, I would say go and check out those recommendations that we have for more comprehensive information. So those recommendations were reviewed and endorsed by the Paediatric Society of New Zealand, so they're available on their website. Also the Pacifica Principals Association and a number of others. Just to talk about what those have, because that will give you some information. What those are is informed recommendations to support young people to develop safer screen behaviours so that they can make the most of opportunities with lower risk than some students currently face. So those include evidence-based advice across different ages and stages of development, and they include interventions to lower risks such as taking eye breaks, blinking exercises, ideas on safer ways to use headphones and earbuds, and lots of other areas, but they do also include screen time limits or a balance of learning tasks on screens and off screens, depending on the age and stage of the child.
Awesome. Well, once again, those two, the resources, the...
Those are recommendations for the use of digital technologies in schools, career and early childhood settings, and our narrative reviews are peer-reviewed and published in the New Zealand Journal of Physiotherapy.
New Zealand Journal of Physiotherapy. And what was you recommended a website people could go and check out?
You can look at sensiblescreenuse.org.
Yes.
So that's a website that, along with some colleagues, we've developed to bring together that evidence and make it accessible for parents and teachers. So that has a lot of helpful information as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, to hopefully support our young people with these challenges.
Awesome. Hey, Julie Cullen, thank you so much for making the trek into BFM this morning.
No,
wonderful to have you here for Ready, Steady, Learn. Thank you very much and all the best with your future research.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.